Well, again, I want to say welcome to all of you here today. What a great crowd. Smiling faces. You look like you're ready to be here. You look like you want to be here, and I'm so glad about that. I've been to a few services where it looked like people have been sucking on sour persimmons before they came to church, and I'm glad you're not like that today. This ought to be like that old song that we sang, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And we ought to remember that every day of our life. I had a buddy, and he was my first music minister, Miss Dana, and he was from Louisiana. And he would sing that song, "This be the day, this be the day that the Lord did do." And I said, Chris, we're not doing it like that, okay? This isn't New Orleans, buddy. But anyway, we ought to remember that this is the day that the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, it's good to have visitors and home folk alike. And I want you to take your Bibles, John chapter 15, and we're going to be there this morning. Just let me say as a word of reminder that March the 1st, we're going to have our dedication service of this new renovated sanctuary. And if you've been here very long at all, you know it doesn't look anything like it did. And we say glory, glory, hallelujah. But there are a few things we've got to finish upstairs. We're getting a new pulpit and a new remembrance table. That'll be coming probably before next week. And so March the 1st, mark your calendar, be here. We're going to have city officials here. We're going to have guests from the past that are going to come back and be with us to celebrate that special day. We're asking the contractors, the carpenters, those that were involved in this renovation process to be here. So we'll have just a beautiful, exciting day together, go over and have food afterwards in the fellowship hall. And so please be a part of that on March the 1st. Well, we've been in John in the 13th, 14th, and now we're in the 15th chapter, and you'll know that this is the Last Supper discourse. This is Jesus' last words before the crucifixion. So these are sacred words. They're special words. These are words that we hold very dear. And I know the disciples needed this time with the Lord. It's just like being around the one that you love as they slip off into eternity. You want to hear the last things that they have to say, that those last few words that they whisper. Those words are immortal. You'll never forget them. And a lot of times there are words to encourage us into the future and to know that that they support and they love us. And in fact, sometimes the words that the last few words that our loved ones say to us would be like this: "I want to see you in heaven. Meet me there." And in a lot of ways, Jesus has done that for the disciples. But when you come to John chapter 15, he is talking about how there will be times in our lives when he needs to do some maintenance on us. There are times when he needs to get us ready to do the work. And he calls it pruning. We're going to find in John chapter 15 that he refers to his followers as a vine, or the branch off of the vine. And he is the vine. And sometimes the branches need propping up, tying up. They need to be broken off or pruned. And that way they can be more productive. And so there's seasons that we go through in life. How many of you would all agree with me just by saying, there's seasons that we go through? Sometimes it's a growing season. Sometimes it's the season where we're seeing a harvest. Sometimes it's the dry season. And sometimes it's the cold season. It's winter time when there are a lot of things happening. You just have to wait till spring to see it uncovered, right? God's working in your life in those dark and dreary times. And we are grateful to Him for all of those seasons, because they make us into what we are for Him, for His work. And so John 15, Jesus is, He is saying, I am the vine, you are the branch. And just as the branch depends entirely on the vine for life and for fruit and for growth, so you depend upon Me completely and entirely as your source for spiritual life and effect. So let's look there as we read the text together. And I'm reading out of the King James this morning. I am the vine, the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be My disciples. As the Father hath loved Me, so have I loved you. Continue you in My word, or in My love, I'm sorry. In verse 10, if you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We're going to end right there. Jesus is saying, for us today, there is the importance for fruit production. The importance is you abide in the vine. So I want to preach on the subject of abiding in Him. Abiding in Him. There are three distinct marks of true branches that stand out in this text. Now, Jesus has said, I am the true vine. Now, why He said that is, He is relating Himself to Israel. All throughout the Old Testament, there's often times when Jesus or the Father relates to us in Scripture that Israel is the vineyard. They're the vine. And that they're to be productive. They're to bear fruit. They're to be a beautiful thing to look at and to together produce from. They were to be the mission force of planet Earth. The Israelites were supposed to tell the world about God the Father. They were supposed to tell them of His love, to tell them what He desired from all people, for them to worship Him and to obey Him. That's what Israel was supposed to do. They failed miserably at being the vine. And the husbandman would come and he would tend his vine. Sometimes he would have to work on them in extreme ways. He'd send them into exile from time to time. He would bring in from the outside a conquering force, and he would try to correct his vine. But they never would be all that He wanted them to be. And so Jesus, referring back to that, He says, I'm not just a vine. I'm not just the vineyard of Israel. I am the true vine. The word is alethenos in the Greek. The word means I am the perfect and distinct from imperfect, genuine rather than counterfeit vine. I am the true vine, the alethenos. Jesus is the true vine in the same sense that He is the true light. He's the only one with complete revelation of truth, the only one who you can trust, and the only one who is genuine, is what He's saying. And so when He opens this up, He is helping the disciples to understand that what the Israelites couldn't do, He can do. He will do in Himself and through them. And so he says to them, I'm the vine and your branches on the vine. There's some things that will happen. There's some things that you will notice, some things that will be a reality in your life if you're connected to me. First of all, true branches connected to the true vine will produce fruit. They'll be productive. Those two truths concerning that are that all believers will be fruit-bearing believers. They'll be Christians who produce, or through them, well, I should say, fruit will be produced through them. There's no such thing, in other words, as a fruitless Christian. If you're saved and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will produce fruit because you're connected to the vine. Now, you understand the symbolic, the analogy that's being made here. I've never really been a guy that's grown grapes. But I think we understand how grapes are grown, don't we? They plant a root of a grape plant. Audrey had one once upon a time. You plant this thing in the ground, it looks like a dead stick. About so long. You make a trellis for that thing to grow on, and boy, springtime comes, and what was a dead branch becomes this living vine. And I mean, that thing grows, and if you're not fast, you can't keep up with it. You go out there one day, and part will be laying on the ground. It grew so fast, you'll have to tie it up. And there's a lot of things that have to happen to make that vine productive. But pretty soon, it'll have these little blossoms on it, and then there'll be these little clusters on it, and by the middle of summertime, there'll be fruit on there that you can pick off. It's because of that root, that true vine that grew out, and those branches that came off, and that fruit that was produced on those branches that you're able to make grape juice, and you're able to have grapes on the table to eat. Jesus said, if you're a part of me, you'll produce fruit. You're not the one actually producing the fruit, but you'll have fruit produced through you because you're a part of me. You're part of that branch that grew out to be a vine. Now, one of the things that he's not saying is that you are actually the one producing the fruit. He's not saying that. What he's saying is, through you, fruit, the qualities of the Spirit will be seen. In other words, as the Bible teaches us, the fruit of the Spirit is love. If you're in Christ, you're a branch that'll produce love. The love of Christ. If you're connected to the branch, you'll produce joy and patience and peace and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control because you're part of the vine. You're a branch on the vine. And you'll be known by your fruit, won't you? You'll be known by your fruit. Run into people that call themselves Christians and absolutely no joy in their life. Completely joyless. Run into people that call themselves Christians and absolutely no peace in their life whatsoever. Fruitless branches. Makes you wonder, are they really connected to the vine, doesn't it? You know, when we grow older, some people get bitter, don't they? I think you ought to grow better as you get older. That's what Jesus produces in us, is better, not bitter, as Christians. Other things that we'll see in a true branch connected to the true vine is we'll see sacrificial love. We'll see people that are converted to the gospel. We'll see worship to God. Those are fruit that we produce. I want to look over at Matthew for just a minute. I think it'd be good for us to turn to Matthew chapter 7. You're still with me, just say, uh-huh. Matthew chapter 7, 17 through 20. The Bible says in chapter 7, verse 17 through 20, "Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit." Jesus is referring to the possibility that there are good prophets and there are false prophets. There are true believers and there are false. There are people who claim to know Christ. And he said in verse 17, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone, listen to this, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? In thy name not done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. It's possible for us to say with our mouth that we're Christians, but the evidence is found where? In our lives. There is people that claim to be Christians, but you can tell them by the fruit they have produced. The fruit that's produced through them. True believers produce fruit. To summarize this, fruit proves the identity of a plant and reveals its state of health. And abiding leads to fruit production. Furthermore, Jesus instructed his followers to focus their attention on abiding so that he could do the producing. Abide, and I will produce, and the production will prove whose you are. Now, also the idea that true branches bear fruit, the Lord wants us to be productive. He wants us to be productive as a fruit-bearing branch, so he has to do some things from time to time for us to be productive. One of the things that he does is found over there in those verses in chapter 15 where he says this, "Abide in me. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, the King James Version says purge. Your translation may say prune. One of the things that the Lord does for us so that we can be productive and have good fruit is he prunes us. Pruning is one of the most essential parts in fruit production. In the first century, this type of vineyard had these four operations to make it a prosperous vineyard. There was the removal of the growing tips. In other words, they broke off the vigorous shoots of that vine, those branches, so that it would not grow too rapidly. They also, in those vineyards, would cut off 1 or 2 feet from the end of the growing shoots to prevent the entire shoot from being snapped off. The third thing that they would do is they would remove some of the flower or the grape clusters so that those left could produce more and better quality fruit. The fourth thing that they would do in those vineyards is they would remove the suckers from around or below the ground near the trunk or the main branch, so that the strength of the vine was not tapped out by the sucker branch. So, the Father prunes believers by removing anything that would sap our spiritual energy and hinder us from bearing fruit. Sometimes you've got to cut off the sucker, doesn't he? Something that is sucking the life out of you from making you a productive plant for Him. Sometimes that hurts, doesn't it, when He prunes us? There's often times that those knives that we prune with cut and hurt. I would imagine that if a vine could talk, if a branch could talk, it would say, when you're pruning it, ouch, that hurts. Ooh, don't break me off there. It might say, why are you taking off my pretty flower? And the vine dresser would say, I'm doing it so that you will be a more healthy vine. I'm doing it so that when you produce fruit, that will be bigger, tastier, and more beautiful fruit. Hey, well, you know what it feels like to be pruned, don't you, if you're a Christian? Sometimes we have to be pruned through health problems. You ever been pruned through a broken bone or a stay in the hospital or a bad report from the doctor? All of a sudden, watch right up here, all of a sudden, we who are all, we got it all together, we're strong, we're capable people, we're able to do exactly what was been put before us. All of a sudden, you know what? We're like that, and you know what? Our pride level, our ability level drops, doesn't it? Or maybe we're in a wheelchair. That's even worse, isn't it? Somebody having to push you around. Sometimes He's got to prune us with our health. You say, well, that doesn't seem... Well, I think He'd want a big, strong, vigorous person. No, sometimes He wants somebody that'll just lean on Him a little harder. Are y'all listening to me? He says, no. I don't need you to be this monstrous, miraculous, stout person. I need you to be this weak. Because in weakness, my strength, listen to this, 1 Corinthians, in weakness, my strength is made perfect. Perfect. So, you know, after Paul prayed three times for that thorn in the flesh to be taken out, you know what the Lord did? He said, no, not taking it out. I'm leaving it there. And what did Paul say? I didn't get my prayer answered, so now I will glory in my weakness because in weakness I am made strong. Sometimes He puts the knife of pressure, of circumstances on us to bring us under His weight so that we... All we can do is say, oh God, I need your help. God, help me. I can't do this on my own. You know, there's a little burrow that's a pack burrow that they use down in South America that little sucker will let you load him down until his bones and his legs crack and break and crumble underneath him. And he will just go belly up on the ground. He'll just let you stand there and load him. Till you break his bones. God sometimes will load you down with something you can't handle. Are y'all listening to me this morning? He will load you with something you can't handle so that you say, God, help me. Oh God, I need you. But He said, I won't put on you any more than you can bear, but I will allow the way of escape. You know what the way of escape is? God, I need you. God, help me. The pruning knife comes out. You remember Joseph over in the Old Testament? I may not even get through this point today, so you guys just hang on with me, okay? You remember old Joseph over in the Old Testament? How many just say yes? He had that coat of many colors on, didn't he? I bet it was beautiful, Brother Bill. His daddy had made it for him. And all of his other brothers, the 11 brothers, looked at him and they were hateful. They were envious. And Joseph's coat of many colors went all the way down. It was like a big long robe. Their coats, as I understand, as I studied it, they were workers' coats, only come down just past your rear endy. You know, they just came down to cover the necessity things because you didn't want anything to get in the way when you worked. Joseph would come out and he was his father's right hand. He would come out and he would look over and survey the scene and see how things were going on sheep farming. He'd come back and he'd report to his daddy. Made his brothers mad. He would tell his dad, hey, they're not treating the lambs right. They're doing things, daddy, that's not right. Joseph would have some dreams. He'd dream he was going to be over them and they were going to bow down to him. Man, that made him so mad. One day he came out in the field and they conspired with each other and they said, let's catch that little squirt and let's throw him in a pit and let's just kill him. And they said, I think it was Judah said, no, let's not kill him, let's just sell him. And they sold him to a Midianite group of people going up into Egypt, and they made a slave out of him, sold him into slavery, and he worked for a man named Potiphar. Years went by. He got accused of trying to rape Potiphar's wife. You know the story. Does anything in this story sound like it was going well for Joseph after he got sold into slavery, after he got caught by his brothers? Nothing went well for him. You know what God was doing? Pruning him. He was taking out the knife, and he was cutting off what he didn't want. He was pruning back what he didn't like, and he, through all of that, became second in command in Egypt. Saved the known world from famine. I will ask you a question. The next time God has to bring the knife out on me or you, are we going to be sorry and bitter and we're going to be upset with God over it? We're going to ask God why. We're going to cry out to God and say, God, I can't. You can't do this to me. No, what you and I need to do when God puts us under the knife and when God begins to clip off the things that He doesn't want in our lives and slice back through His surgery, the things that don't need to be there and chisel us down with the things that He doesn't want us, the shape that He doesn't want us to be. And when He has to sand us down and get the rough spots off, we need to say, thank you, God, because what you're doing is you're making me a productive branch. You're making me something that can bring fruit into this world to bring glory to you. We need to be willing to be productive branches. Because if we are a true branch connected to the true vine, we will produce true fruit. I brought a little jar with me this morning. Anybody know what that is? That's apple butter. Anybody had any of that? My wife, some of y'all nodding your head no. Well, I'll have to get you some. My wife canned that last year off of our apple trees. We got about 10 apple trees. And we had so many apples, we didn't know what to do with all of them this last year. I'm telling you, they were on the ground. the limbs were actually breaking. They were so heavy with apples. You say, I want some of that apple butter, Brother Joe. That's what she did with a lot of it, was she just made canned apple butter. I literally went out and propped the limbs up on those apple trees to keep them from breaking. You say, well, why didn't you prune them last year, last fall? I did. I went out there last fall, and I did what I did last week. I shaped those trees. I cut them way back. I shaped them the way I wanted them to look, Brother Ray. They didn't have any say in the matter. I said, this is how I want my apple tree to look. And I cut them back where I read and learned, this is where you're supposed to cut them back. Some of those trees, I can reach and touch the top of the tree. They're not very old. They're only about that big around. Man, I give them a heavy pruning. Heavy pruning, Brother Mike. We had a big bonfire with the limbs that I cut off. And because I got to, I'm the vine dresser of those trees, you understand? I'm the husbandman. Because I got to shape them the way I wanted to shape them, and I got to prune them where I knew they needed to be pruned. Hey, guys, my wife fixed biscuits, and I can have apple butter on them biscuits. It didn't hurt them apple trees. It helped them. It helped them so much, I had to help them hold the fruit. And that's after I knocked a couple of bushels of them off when they were that big. Are y'all listening to me? They were so productive after the pruning. So productive. I don't suppose they would have been if I hadn't. You know what you need to say to God today? This is what I want us to say to God today. God, number one, I want to be a productive branch on your vine. All of you, just say that to God right now in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. God, I want to be a productive branch on your vine. Number two, I want you to do whatever it takes for me to be productive. Oh, hang on, Brother Joe. Put the brakes on just a minute. You know what that means? He gets to shape you. He gets to prune you. However he needs to. Would you be willing to say that to God this morning? If you are a true branch on the true vine, you would be willing to say that this morning. Because true branches produce fruit. Say that with me. True branches produce fruit. They do. Well, this is a pretty remedial message this morning, isn't it? It's simple. You know, I'll get to the rest of it next week. But if you want to be a branch that produces fruit, you got to be willing to let Him prune you. You got to be willing to let Him do what He wants to do with you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, this is a simple message. I want to be a branch that produces fruit. Or better said, Lord, that You produce fruit through me. I want to be one who the Spirit of God can use. So, Lord, whatever You need to do to help fruit be a reality in my life. Fathers, we pray that all across this room. I ask that You will do what's best. do what you know is best for us. Oh God, whatever that is. All things work together for those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. Lord, all things, we want You to do whatever so that You can get the glory and so that we can be made better. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Stand with me. This altar's open if you need to come as we sing together.